Heavenly Father, we pray that we may hear you speaking to each one of us individually this morning, Lord. Help us to focus on you, on your word, on Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's one of those subjects we have this morning which causes much havoc in many churches. So this morning I'm going to try not to give you what I think, but I'm going to stick, I hope, strictly to what Scripture says. And the response there, we'll see what happens about church growth and healing. So I'm going to skip about from verse to verse, so I probably encourage you not to try and follow me. I'm going to start with Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. Verse 5. Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Luke 9:1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets, laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill, those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Some verses, aren't they? So we're continuing this morning to look at church growth, but in connection with that particularly difficult subject of healing. Why is healing such an important subject? Well, consider this. In the four Gospels alone, not including Acts, there are 33 accounts of healings covering many hundreds of individuals. There are just under 400 verses covering this specific area of healing. That being the case, I believe that it is right for us to look into this whole subject. 20 minutes is hardly enough. I could do that 2 days, really, but there you go. But I will try to do my best in the time allotted. We're going to look at Jesus, at his disciples, then we're going to have a look at the result. And healing is one of those more difficult subjects. It raises so many questions. Why are some people healed and others not? It's also amazing, too. People say, why are some Christians not healed? And people who are non-believers are. For us, it looks very strange, I suppose. So this morning, I'm going to look at the biblical accounts of healing, the role of faith, the place of prayer, the example and commands of Jesus, the relevance of sin, and the resulting church growth. So if you take away nothing else this morning, take just these four words, healing and church growth. Firstly, then, the role of faith. It always amazes me how Jesus managed to heal at a distance. I think it's because of the sort of culture we're brought up in. Do you remember the story of the centurion's servant, Matthew 8:5? Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Again, know the importance of faith here. Jesus commends this man for his great faith. Go, Jesus said, and it will be done just as you have believed it would. So notice those two words, belief and faith. Some folk have faith and belief, and yet their prayers do not appear to be answered. Many have faith that Jesus can and will heal, but do not believe it will be here. Some people think they have to go to a certain place, or a certain church, or a certain community to be healed, or with a certain minister, or perhaps even in another country. We see it so often in the States, you hear all these accounts of miraculous healings, and in the Far East as well. Remember the paralytic brought by the friends to Jesus, Luke 5:22. The friends who tore open the roof of the house and let the man down on the mat. That took some guts and faith, wasn't it? Not only did they have to carry him from his home all the way to where Jesus is, they had to get up on the roof, tear up the roof, let him down in front of Jesus. Fantastic. Jesus saw their faith. He had compassion on the man who had been brought. The man was carried in paralyzed, and yet on Jesus' command was able to take up his bed and to walk. Matthew 8:16. Many came to be healed. Some were demon-possessed, and Jesus healed them and the sick who were brought before him. How did Jesus heal them? With a word. He didn't go into a detailed analysis of their faith or what was wrong in their lives or what was happening in their body. He spoke a word. I think this is something, too, that we can learn in the church. So often when we pray for people for healing, we think we have to go into long dialogues about church or their history, about the sort of everything that's going on within them physically. Jesus just said a word. I find that quite a striking thing. Do you remember the ruler who came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's just died. Come and put your hand on her and she will live." Again, what faith in Jesus. What did Jesus do? He lifted her up by the hand and she lived. Amazing. Today, one of the dilemmas we face is this, I've already mentioned. Some may say, "I believe that Jesus can heal, but I don't have the faith that he's going to heal me." I hear that quite often. People have this faith that Jesus is a healer, but he's not going to heal them. And I think so often we need our minister, our family, our friends to pray for us, to be with us, and sometimes to bring us into that place where we can be healed, like the four men who carried the paralyzed man to the foot of Jesus. James 5:14, "Is anyone sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up if he has sinned." And how about the woman who pushed through the crowd just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? Do you remember that? I mean, I'm sure most of you have seen a rugby scrum, and I think it must have been something like that for this poor woman, all the people gathering around Jesus, yet she fights her way through just to touch the hem of his garment. She believed. She didn't doubt. She believed that just touching the hem of Jesus' coat would heal her. And the word of God together with belief and faith, we need both. However, that does not seem to guarantee that we'll actually find healing. I've been prayed for on many occasions for healing of a skin complaint I have for some 30 years now. Still not been healed. But God has given me what I need to carry on and do what he's called me to do. So I don't understand that either. And again, I've had cancer and prayed for healing. But it was a skill of the surgeon that actually removed the cancer. It wasn't a laying on of hands by Christians. I know many good prayerful Christian people have prayed for healing and have yet not seen it. And I take comfort from St. Paul's condition. He prayed to God 3 times for healing, and yet he wasn't healed. But God gave him the words, the ministry, all that he needed to carry on in what God had called him to do. I had a non-Christian friend whose daughter was at death's door. She was born with a very lethal blood complaint. Sylvia prayed for it. She waited till I went to sleep, then she prayed at the end of the bed all night long for this friend of hers, this little girl. And she said, "If God, if you're there, I want to see this little girl healed." She was miraculously healed. It was through faith that she came to faith, that Sylvia came to faith. But neither the mother of this girl nor the girl herself have ever wanted to know anything about Jesus. I don't understand that either. I'm sure God can explain it, but I can't. And I think it's also good to remember this, that it's not us who do the healing. When we're praying for people healing, it's not us who are doing the healing. It's God who heals. I know many people get sort of upset and disconcerted because they prayed and the prayer hasn't been answered. So they think there's something wrong with them, that they haven't prayed right or something. And I don't understand that either. But it is God who does the healing, not you, not me, not the prayer team or anybody else. How about the role of prayer in all of this? The boy with the evil spirit. Do you remember the disciples were praying for this person, this young lad, and they couldn't heal him? So they went to Jesus and said, "Why can't we heal this guy?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." James 5 again. "And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up." And again, I'm still struck by the words of Jesus about mustard seed, which I'm sure you've heard many times, when he says to his disciples, why do you have such little faith? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Again, this whole question of faith comes into this somewhere. And again, please don't ask me to explain any of this. This is what the Bible tells us. So let's have a look at the example and commands of Jesus. Look at Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus came, he saw, he just touched her, and she was healed. She got up and started cooking for them. Amazing, isn't it? We never know quite what God is doing in that sense of healing, but I think we need to keep our faith and our belief that we have a God who loves us, who heals us. And when we don't have immediate physical healing, I believe he does give us the faith and courage and all that we need to carry on. God works in mysterious ways. Young clergyman, a very high churchman I was sent to do some training with, one day said, don't come to me, I'm ill. I'm very ill, don't come. He was in High Wycombe and I was in Aylesbury. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to come anyway. He said, no, don't come, I'm so ill. And I went, let myself in, prayed for him, and God healed him. Amazing. I don't understand that either. Matthew 10:5. Jesus sent out his followers with these words. You've heard it already this morning. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. How about that? I wonder what the disciples thought at that time. They must have wondered what Jesus was saying, don't you think? If Jesus stood before you now and said that to you, I wonder what your reaction would be. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and drive out demons. I think I would say, oh, I'm not sure about that, Lord. It's what Jesus said. Jesus sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We have that same calling, don't we? Because we're called to be Jesus in the world in which we live. We have that same calling. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said in John's Gospel, greater things will you do than I do because I go to the Father. And again, I think we're often challenged. Do we actually believe that? That's what Jesus said. Do not forget, too, that healing is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm sure you remember the listing of the gifts of the Spirit. You've heard it many times here. The message of wisdom, the message of knowledge. Again, that's a strange thing, the message of knowledge. When I was in Aylesbury, I had to pray with a good Christian friend of mine who worked for one of the atomic energy authorities or something. And he was having a real struggle in his home life with his children. He asked me to go and pray for him. He was a Christian. And God gave me a picture of him. I said, I see you, and you've got a young woman next to you who's not your wife. And he broke down into tears, and that actually brought healing to him and to his family. It was that word of knowledge that God gave at that moment. It's amazing, isn't it, how these things happen. He gives to another faith. Now, it's not just to have faith in Jesus, but to have faith that will help you and guide you to listen and to obey what God is saying to you today. It is a faith more than just faith in Jesus. It's a faith to do things. Faith to do things for the Lord. Probably things we don't want to do. We need that faith will enable us to get up and to do it. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment of spirits. Boy, how do we need that? We really need that today, this discernment of spirits. We get so many things across our trail here in the church and in churches elsewhere, I'm sure. And we're not sure whether it's the enemy sending people to distract us from what we're doing, or people who are being brought to us that God wants to heal or to set right. So we need that discernment of the Holy Spirit. When we meet with people, they come with problems to us. Different tongues, their interpretation, all the work of the same Spirit. Gifts of healing. There again, I think we always need a word of knowledge from God. I remember in Dartford, a person came up for prayer, and he said, I've got a terrible headache. Please pray for my headaches. It's driving me mad. And again, God gave me a picture of what was actually going on in this man's life, and I said it to him. The headache wasn't actually the problem. It's a result of everything else that was going on in his life. We need that discernment, that word of knowledge. And over these past days, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our worship, in our home groups, and in our times together. And again, I think we're challenged. Do we believe what we read in God's word? Do we believe what we read in God's word? I want to move on now to the role of sin. Obviously, from the words of Jesus, sin can be a blockage to healing. But I don't think that's a problem. Well, I know it's not a problem for God. But I believe in this case, Jesus was making the point, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. He is God. Jesus is Lord. Matthew 9, Jesus questions to the teachers of the law, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or heal this man. And I think you and I, we believe, don't we, that when we truly repent, God forgives us our sins. I pray that no one here has any doubt about that. That when we truly repent, God forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The question is, do we believe that he can also heal us? Do you remember Jesus speaking to the woman caught in adultery? This is John 8, 4. Go, sin no more. Now, she didn't have a physical healing, but it was real healing for her in who she was and what she did, in her self-esteem, how she looked at herself, how she considered her life. One wonders how she actually looked at herself. But Jesus simply says, go, sin no more. I do not condemn you. And I think, you know, that so often our self-esteem can be a real problem to our healing. We have a low opinion of ourselves. Often we hear people say, well, I can't do that. I'm not really up to it. Or I'm not. Some people say I'm not worthy, but most people say I'm not up to it. So I'm not good enough to do that. You and I were sons and daughters of God, of the living God. We're joint heirs with Christ. He looks on us with favour because he made us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. So if we have a low self-esteem, we really need to bring it to the Lord and have it dealt with. Luke 7:48, Jesus was invited to dinner at the house of one of the Pharisees. In came an uninvited guest. I wonder if you've ever suffered that. Had a dinner party, someone just wandered in and started doing things. I think probably throw you a bit. Throw me, I know that. Anyway, this sinful woman came in to see Jesus. She began to wash his feet with her tears. And obviously the master of the house thought that Jesus didn't know what sort of naughty, bad woman she was. Well, you can't be much of a man, this Jesus. He can't know what she's like, really. What does Jesus say? He says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And for her, that was a real time of healing. Healing of how she felt about herself, what was going on in her life, and everything else. But Jesus said she's loved a lot, but now she's healed a lot. I think it's a beautiful story, that. Greater things will you do, just said Jesus, than I do, because I go to the Father. Lastly, the result of church growth. Consider all the extra folk who came along when Jesus was healing people. Read again the Gospels and see how often it comes up. I forgot to count how many times it comes up, but it's many, many times. Look again at the Gospel here. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. The news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. Crowds of people. Matthew 4:5, Jesus healed sick people and large crowds followed him. Matthew 8, Jesus healed a leper and when he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Matthew 9, Jesus heals a paralytic. Result? Crowds were filled with awe and praised God. Matthew 9 again, a man who was mute was healed. Result, the crowd were amazed. Matthew 12, Jesus healed loads of people, and the crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. Matthew 14, Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed the sick. Matthew 15, great crowds came to Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, and many others. Jesus healed them all. Matthew 19, large crowds followed him and he healed them. Matthew 20, large crowds followed Jesus as he was leaving Jericho when he'd healed two blind men. Crowds came to him. And that's just in Matthew's gospel. I'm sure I've missed a few too. And we see the same in the book of Acts. Followers of Jesus doing exactly the same things as Jesus did with the same effect. Acts 5:12, the apostles obeyed Jesus' command and performed many miracles. More believers came, and the church grew. And again, we have to remember something else that's so important. It is the Lord who does the healing, not you and me. Healing and church growth. I think we need to consider this. So often it's easy to put healing on one side. So, well, I've got a friend who wasn't healed, so I'm not going to go down that road. I think we need to go back to the scriptures, go back to Jesus, see what the Bible tells us and shows us. And then go with that step of faith. God has given us this gift of healing. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. We need to pray about this. And I think so often in the church, in this church over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had a tremendous number of people who've actually needed God's healing touch. Sometimes it may be through sin, I don't know, I'm not judging anything. Maybe through that they've got some condition that the doctors say cannot be healed. But Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Jesus is Lord. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen? I pray that today God will increase our faith, that we may see people healed, not so that we get glory for that, so that more and more people come to Jesus. We're told to take the kingdom of God out into the world, not to just keep it boxed up in here. And taking the gift of healing and all these other gifts, I think, is so central to our ministry as a church here. If we walk with the Lord, I think we're going to be amazed at what God is going to do. Amen.
We always love to offer to pray with people at the end of our services, but we're also mindful of the fact that sometimes you might want a bit more time. And Francis and I are never very far away in the course of the week, although I think you're going on holiday this week, aren't you, at some stage? Yes. I will be soldiering on. But there are always other elders who can pray for you and pray for one another. So we'll sing a couple of songs, and if you want to come out for prayer, please do so. If you're not coming out for prayer and you've not filled in your little slip, can you just tick the appropriate box so that when we take up the offering in a minute, everybody about to put a form in. Is there anybody who needs a pen or something? Peter, I know, got some pencils, I think. Everybody's filled. Everybody got one. Nobody didn't get one because they crept in after time. Peter, you're needed. The Collins is need a form. Yes. Okay, what are we going to sing, Rob?
We're going to pick up a song from what Francis was talking about. Say the word, I will be healed. You are the great physician. You meet every need. Okay, fine. You can stand or sit as you wish. Do you wish to take up the offering?
No, we won't take up the offering now. We're okay. Just getting people ready to put their slips in.
Right, say the word.
Say the word, I will be healed. You are the great physician, you meet every need. Say the word, I will be free. Where chains have held me captive, come sing your songs to me. Say the word.
Say the word.
Say the word.
I will be filled.
My hands reach out to heaven, where striving is still. Say the word. I will be changed. Where I am dry and thirsty, send cool refreshing rain. Say the word. His tears have fallen like rain on my life, each drop of fresh revelation. I will return to the place of the cross, where grace and mercy pour from heaven's roar. Say the word, I will be poor. The know the riches that you have in store. Say the word, I will be weak. Your strength will be the power that satisfies the meek. Say the word. The Lord will see the travail of his soul, and he and I will be satisfied. Complete the work you have started in me. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, shake my life again. Say the word. Oh, say the word.
Would you like to come and share that, Jenny, please?
I'm terrified of this because I know I've got to learn to be obedient, and God has said to me several times recently that he will give me the word if I live close to him, and he would cover me. So this is an act of faith. My esteem's very low, so that was another hint that maybe I need to just trust him. A few days ago, I had a very vivid picture when I was having my quiet time of throngs of people coming down the countryside from all nations and all types of people, broken, hungry, thirsty. But they were anticipating something, and in the middle of this desert situation, there was a shelter. And there was no walls to this shelter. It was open. Everybody could come to it. And I know shelters in the Bible, God says we can rest in the shelter of his wings. But they were coming down, children and mothers, and coming down in masses to this shelter. And I saw in the shelter that from the ceiling there was a huge sack of corn. And it seemed to had a little tiny corner of it had been sliced with a sword. And it was trickling down. And in the midst of all these people coming, the people that knew Jesus as Saviour were worshipping and they were praying. And the more they worshipped and the more they gave God his rightful place, and all the time the prayer was coming from his church, from his people, from his body, the corn was flowing down. The bread of life kept coming. And the people started coming into this shelter, this covering, this safe place. And all their needs were met, whether it was providentially, whatever it was, they were going out, they were leaving their crutches, they were leaving everything that had bound them or kept them from freedom, and they were going out the other side of this shelter, healed and rejoicing and praising. But that trickle seemed to, in that sack of provision, seemed to flow only when there was the prayer going up constantly and people were worshipping Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll just accept it humbly, because I'm just trying to be obedient, whatever the result.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think there's a real challenge there to us, and thank you for sharing it. I want to pray, and then we'll take up our offering and put these little slips in it and any gifts we're bringing today, and we'll sing our last song. But I've just called this a prayer for healing. Almighty God, let our prayer rise to you today as we come before you in need. Many people known to us need your divine power as they suffer various afflictions and ailments. Lord, even as some are waiting for hospital treatment, we know that you are still able to reach out and touch people. We ask for your divine power to be released upon us. Lord, we don't understand why sometimes people aren't healed, but we choose to be patient and to believe that your ways are best for our future, even when we don't understand them or don't even like them. Help us to be patient as we wait for an improvement. You love us and you hear our prayers. Help us to have faith in the promises of Jesus. Help us to stay strong in our faith and to deal with the burden that sickness brings until we're made completely whole, either here or in eternity. This we ask in the almighty name of Jesus, our Saviour and Healer. Amen. Would those who are going to take up the offering do so, please? And can I encourage you to put these little slips in along with your gifts today? Thank you. What are we going to sing?
We'll sing our final song, You Have Given Me the Oil of Gladness.
Let's stand up. We can't sing this sitting down, can we?
No. You have given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise, instead of mourning, a shining crown, instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair. Once more, you have given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise, instead of mourning, a shining crown, instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair. I delight greatly in you, my soul rejoices and sings, for you took my empty life and filled it with every good thing. You have given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise, instead of mourning, a shining crown, instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair. When my life was without purpose, you gave me a reason to live. Now my heart is full of thanksgiving for all of the riches you give. You have given me the oil of gladness, garment of praise, instead of ashes, a glory crown, instead of ashes, glory in the place of despair.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Father, every good gift comes from you, and you give generously. We thank you that we've been able to respond in this offering this morning, and may our gifts assist the preaching of the gospel.
Thank you.
So that adults and children around here may come to learn of Christ and follow him and be born again in his likeness. And now we pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you're able to come back later to one of the other services, it'd be good to see you, especially at the baptism. And there'll be refreshments now in the Manor House.